We've got Geraldine Quinn on the line, and she's going to talk to us about Melbourne Comedy Showcase, which is coming up on the 25th of October. G'day, Geraldine. How are you?
Good morning. I'm all right. Thank you very much.
You're not very well, really, but you will
Oh,
be by the
shush.
25th.
Shush. I will be by the 25th. Shush. Yeah, no, I'm sick at the moment. But that's, you know what? It happened in between the Sydney season and this gig, so it's kind of the perfect time for a singer to get... To get a bit of a lurgy and then like isolate and recover.
Well, that's what your timing. You're you've got impeccable timing.
Yes.
So this is a big showcase, isn't it? Like Dave O'Neill and you are headlining, and then there's a whole range of others as well.
Yeah. Look, so the comedy showcase is coming to Kingston Art Centre, which is a lovely venue. In fact, I think the last time I was there, I went to at the end of school spectacular concert that was for my nephew and my niece were in it. So it's a great community space. And Dave O'Neill is, I would say he's a headliner. He's a stalwart of comedy in Melbourne, if not Australia. Wonderful man, nice person, very rewarding night out for everybody.
Well, actually, I was looking it up, and it's called the Shirley Burke Theatre, and it's very up close and personal because there's only 167 seats.
Oh, I don't think I've done... Oh, you're right, actually. I don't think I've done that one.
Yeah. So it's like if you really want to have a good night comedy amongst friends, this would be the ticket to get because, Dave O'Neill, Geraldine Quinn,
Brad Oakes,
Billy Stiles. I mean, you guys are actually mainliners, you know?
Oh, yeah. And it's always nice going to see stuff I think there's a trend towards stadium comedy. It's almost like I was talking to a mate of mine for a while ago, and he was saying, why do all comedians want to be rock stars? And why do all rock stars want to be comedians? And I said, well, I just can't help being both. But I'm a musical comedian. If you
that's right.
I think that sometimes it's nice to go to those kinds of rooms to have that opportunity when those kind of outer suburban and rural and regional touring shows go around. It's when you get an opportunity to be in a lot of different spaces that are built around community as well. So I think that's perfect for exactly what comedy and cabaret, which is more what I sort of do. That's exactly what that form's really built for, I think.
Yeah. And you can actually interact with your audience.
Yeah, I mean, I started out when I was in my 20s, I was going to, the Builder's Arms in Fitzroy to see Elbow Grease and Prince Patrick Hotel, like really great, thriving comedy rooms in Melbourne back in the late 90s and early 2000s. Yeah, I'm that old, whatever, get over it.
Oh, I'm much older and I saw Wendy Harmer at Prince Patrick. So.
At Prince Patrick, it was a great room, wasn't it?
Yeah, great room.
Yeah, that's actually the first place I saw Cowell. It was our anniversary was in Cowell yesterday. There's so many terrific performers around there. And that's where a lot of music and comedy, that's the grassroots of it, I reckon. And that's where community radio and community kind of organisations are important as well, because it reminds us of how that grassroots scene, fringe festivals too, that's where it all bubbles up from. And I think today, now that everything's so fast moving and there's so much streaming and content kind of consumption, it can be easy to sort of lose a little bit of track of that.
Yeah, you know, the thing though is that all that is good and wonderful, but I was actually really impressed with the concept of a room that had 167 seats and getting really funny people to perform towards them because it's so much more fun and so much more intimate. It's a really different experience.
But isn't it always about, I mean, this is the same with bands doing pub rooms and trying to make that sort of thing sustainable as well. And I've written a lot about this in my career. But, like, that idea of it's about that connection and interaction in such an immediate community way that I think comedy and music perhaps most immediately do. Not that they're better or worse than any other art form, but I think they're art forms that really grew out of that, going out to a small place and seeing people. So, yeah, it's really nice to be able to put on this show with a bunch of other great people, some of whom have been around for a long, long time. Actually, all of us have been around for a long time. But with really different outlooks and different disciplines. So, yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah, yeah. No, I was perusing your some of the content that you've put up on YouTube, and the piece that I'm going to play after we stop talking, I actually did see on Spicks and Specks, which was a long time ago, but it's a great little song about you put the drama in the suburbs. It's just great. But you
Have you checked this one for swears?
Yeah, no, I did. I did. Okay, I did actually listen to some of the others, and I thought, no, I can't play that this morning.
No, this is a clean show. Like, I should stress that our show is like crazy, obscene show.
You can bring anybody.
I do know that there's one of two songs you could be talking about, and one of them has a very passing swear, and the other one does not. So maybe it's that one.
No, that's okay. It's all right. It's fine. I listened to it all the way through. But I do remember it. It was on Spicks and Specks. It's about kids having a party when their folks are away, you know. It's quite the amusing one. It's amusing. It puts drama into the suburbs, which is, I guess, part of your stock and trade. But what I noticed is that you've become a full-blown diva.
Have I?
Yeah, well, you've got all the hair and the boobs and the whole bit.
No, the boobs are always there.
Yeah, yeah, I know. But, I mean, you know, you're not always putting them on show. You know, like
how dare
you? You know what I'm getting at. What I'm getting at is that you are creating a whole lot of icons within your comedy.
If you mean I got a lot draggier in the last couple of years, that definitely happened. I think.
The whole thing. It's great.
I can wear a wig. I don't know. I've had kind of bigger and bigger costumes from like 2010-ish.
You're a wild woman. That's what I'm getting at. You're a wild woman.
I was staying in Edinburgh with actually a drag queen troupe, and they were, most of mine just going, you should be doing bigger costumes. And all my costumes are made by drag performers, costume makers.
Yeah, right.
And then I just eventually went, I'm so sick of doing my hair. I got a couple of wigs. But now I got this really nice spectrum where I can be Geraldine with my actual hair, but I can go and do the 86 in Collingwood and just go, oh, this is fun. I like having this diversity of expression. So I'm not sure what I'm going to wear on the 25th yet. I'm not 100% sure.
You're not too sure what you're actually going to do?
I don't know what my hair is going to be. I don't know what outfit I'm going to pick. I don't know. Like, I'm just going to try to feel it and work it out. It's exciting. I've got range and I've got options. So, you know, you get an extra little surprise to see what colour my hair's going to be.
Yeah, no, but it's great because the thing about it is that you're so elastic. You've got a, you're singing. You've got skills.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind of you. Yeah, I think that's because I wanted to be a musician, but it was a harder industry to find a pathway into. So it's that's my first skill. Someone asked me the other day what I say I was, in terms of my art, and I was like, I think I'd have to say I was a singer-songwriter first. But I love that because it's all storytelling in different ways. You know, I've got such admiration for stand-ups. Like, it's kind of expression of interest time for the next year of festivals, and I think, how do you... People do work-in-progress gigs, and I'm like, how do you write an hour of talking? Like... For the song, I can at least build a bunch of songs.
Yeah,
My brain explodes when I think of people like Dave doing like a whole hour and just, where do you start?
Yeah, but what he'd say is that he's a yarner from way back and it's like tapping a ball while he'd go, you know, what you do which with songs and stuff like that, he'd go, oh, that's too much effort.
But, you know, it's a bit like putting an album together. You kind of go, right, I need an opener. I know there's going to be a middle chunk song. I haven't got a closer. I've got to have that moment of... It makes kind of a building block sense to me.
Yeah.
But maybe you're right. Maybe that's the same for them. Like my mate Geraldine Hickey, like when she puts a show together, sometimes I just wish I could be in a rehearsal and go, I just want to understand how you guys do this.
Yeah.
Like, how you build that from... Do you come up with a joke and then... Or do you, sometimes you've got a story there, but sometimes you don't. Like, Reese Nicholson's show, Reese, that was just, like, it had a thread through it about his gender identity, but he is also... It was just a really solid hour.
Yeah.
Guy Montgomery was a really solid hour. Hickey always does a really solid hour. And I just... I'm just in awe of how they even begin. Mind you, everyone writing everything, I think, is like that. They go, how do I do this again?
Yeah. I mean, it is pretty amazing. And, I mean, I did actually see the beginning of both the Fringe Festival and I'm old. And I actually remember the first invitation to people to come and talk about creating the Fringe Festival.
Wow. Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah, it did actually have a birth. And I do remember when Phil Pinder started the comedy festival, right?
John Pinder.
John Pinder,
yeah,
sorry.
John Pinder was he was lovely. He, when he passed away, just before COVID, I think it was, and he was a big fan of mine. He gave me a lot of opportunities, and I didn't know what the hell I was doing, but lovely guy. And he started The Last Laugh.
Last Laugh, yeah. And I saw...
experience there.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, really? Yeah, well, yeah. I saw gigs there and all the rest of it. But anyway, John Pinder, sorry, there is a Phil Pinder. Sorry, I got them mixed up. But John Pinder was a visionary, basically.
Yes.
And all this work that all you guys put together and you put yourselves right out there for everybody to see, it's pretty remarkable.
I think it's really important to remember the people like the John Pinders of the world and they got together and went, let's start a Fringe Festival, or the foundation members of companies like Circus Oz and stuff like that, because they remind you that there's no big corporate comedy without those beginnings. There's nothing that you see on television that you think is what, you know, success is defined as. There's none of that without those beginnings. And that's why I really love still going to see stuff in Fringe all over, whenever I can get to it in the world, is because that's where you can see some really exciting stuff. And I hope we don't forget those roots of what makes creating art and making people laugh or make people cry is, because there's no polished end without that wonderful beginning, and the ecosystem needs all those levels.
Yeah, and that brings us back, really, in a nice way, to the Kingston Arts and the Shirley Burke Theatre event Friday the 25th of October. It's 7:30. You can get tickets online. And there's a Melbourne Comedy Showcase, which will include you, Geraldine.
It will, and in one of my many fake wigs.
Thanks for taking some time out of your sick bed and Saturday morning to have a chat with us.
I'm fine. I'm well. Listen to me. I sound perfectly normal. I haven't coughed once.
Thanks, mate.
No problem.
One backyard at a time.